Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Cocoa, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're heard on the World Wide Web. Miss Ellen?
We are all over the World Wide Web. www.1510wwbc.com. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your listening devices, phones, iPads, etc. Or if you would like to catch the show later, all of our events are also scheduled, and you find it by the date, all the guests, and you can download it from there. We also have it on our website, which is SitaMediaInc.com, and of course we share all of that on our Facebook pages as well. Another beautiful episode today. I'm excited to hear from everyone.
Yes, I think we're going to have a really fun show.
It is.
And for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our show is heard every Monday right here. And it's a pretty unscripted show, very educational. I think it's quite interesting because I walk away always learning something. And it is fun. And so I want you all to stay tuned because our first segment today is going to be with a lady by the name of Deborah Grassman. And Deborah is here to talk a little bit about Opus Peace and Soul Injury. She's on the phone. She'll be with us in a minute. She's an author. She's a director of Opus Peace and Soul Injury. And she's also a trainer of some sorts to us lay people about how to heal our heart. So we'll be talking to her in a minute. Our second segment is with the Woman in Defense. My friend Sandy Frimmer is here. And Inga Young, welcome. We'll talk to you guys. You can say hello to our listeners.
Thank you. Hello.
Good morning.
All right. They'll be with a second segment. Ellen O'Neill is here, and Ellen brought a friend, Natalie, with her.
Yes.
And Natalie is listening to our show. Mm-hmm. But, you know, before we go to Deborah, I attended a National Day of Racial Healing here in Brevard County, Florida, and it was a community engagement event with Reverend David Bryant, myself, Mr. Herman Cold, and Philip Simpson. And it was a roundtable discussion that was about what racial healing mean to me. And all of us had to talk a little bit about what it meant to me. And it was quite interesting seeing our community come together and try to speak about issues going on, not just here in Brevard, but around the world. And I walked away saying, wow, we need to do more of that. Because it was a room full of education and love and unity. It was quite compassionate and empathetic as well. So anyway, so I did that. Of course, you know, I do a lot of stuff, but we'll talk about that later. In the meantime, we're going to talk with Deborah. Deborah Grassman, welcome to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and chat with us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with Opus Peace Soul Injury.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sita and Ellen, for inviting me to be a part of this day. Opus Peace is a not-for-profit organization that was started about 10 years ago now. But prior to that, I was a hospice nurse, a nurse practitioner at the VA, and I was, over my 30-year career there, I took care of more than 10,000 dying veterans. And you can probably appreciate that there were a lot of lessons that I learned as I was bearing witness to the deaths of these men and women that I was taking care of. And I can tell you there is nothing like dying people to teach us, surprisingly maybe, about how to live. And so one of the things that we experienced with our patients was often what they would call a quote-unquote soul injury. And so we would help them as they were nearing the very end of their lives, and we would help them move from numbing their pain, their emotional pain, to mourning their pain, and move from hiding their guilt to using their guilt to learn how to forgive themselves and others. And instead of being ashamed of not being good enough or smart enough or whatever, to move from that to releasing their fear of who they were and who they were not. And, you know, somewhere along the line, we would help them learn how to let themselves feel their helplessness over things that they had no control over, rather than trying to control things that they couldn't. And oftentimes after we would help them do this, they would turn to us and say, why did I have to be dying in order to learn how to do this?
Right. So you allow them to let go of this burden, because a lot of them were holding on to stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, well, as a nurse myself, I have seen that. I cannot tell you how many times with our patients, whether on hospice or not, when they're dying, a lot of people have a story to tell, and they bottle it up.
Yes. Well, our model that we use is kind of like this. We will say that you already have everything you need inside in order to be whole, to be complete. But things get in the way that separate us from accessing that wholeness. So we believe it is what we saw is that it is unmourned loss and hurt.
Do you find that if it's a terminal diagnosis that people would open up more?
Yeah,
I found that as well. Well, you know, we had a lady that was on hospice, and apparently she never spoke about her child who had gotten hit by a garbage truck, and he was killed. And when she was dying, I remember holding her hand, and she said to me, I am going to be with my son. And I said, oh, I didn't realize you had a son. And then she opened up and she told me that her son had died right outside the house, and she was seeing him. And she said, and she had a smile on her face. But sadly, she did not speak about that for while alive at all. She couldn't bear that pain. So what you're doing is you're allowing people to talk about their pain at the end of life, but you're also trying to do it before they die, is from what I'm noticing.
Yes, rather than compartmentalizing it into separate areas of our conscious and unconscious mind, you know, what we often do when we don't want to feel the pain is we exile that part of ourself into unconsciousness, where it stays. And then as we near the end of our lives, for all of us, our conscious mind gets weaker and our unconscious mind gets stronger. And that's why these memories sometimes surface at the end of life. And it's important not to just be able to remember the memory, but what we learned from those 10,000 dying veterans is that it's important to feel that experience and to be able to integrate it rather than compartmentalize it. And that's where the anchoring heart technique kind of emerged with us. We didn't really realize it, but I kept seeing how our veterans, when they would talk about things, tragic things, maybe from the war or other things too, they would often hold their heart. And even though they'd be feeling this, you know, sometimes overwhelming pain, they'd be very vulnerable, and the stoic wall would come down, they would tenderly hold their heart and tell me and feel what they were feeling. And I could tell that just that act, that gesture, strengthened them so that they could integrate the pain and be at peace with it. So that's what the anchoring heart technique does, is it allows pain and peace to coexist together.
I love it. It's so true. Well, you know, we often hear about so many groups in the United States that wants to help a veteran, whether it's homelessness or hunger or mental health or whatever it is.
But I don't think they have put the two together like you have, because oftentimes you'll hear about the veterans who are hiding their pain with alcohol, or they're hiding their pain because they're divorced, they have no insurance, they can't find a facility. But no, I've never heard anyone put the two together the way you have, because veterans do hide their feelings a lot. A lot of them don't say the truth about what they think, about what they saw on the battlefield.
Yeah, you're very right. At the same time, what I have found in my experience is primarily at end of life, those last few months of life, what I will tell you is that those veterans become very real. And that was the privilege that I had as a hospice nurse practitioner, was to bear witness to that realness. And wisdom really emerges. These veterans, I mean, they've seen things that the rest of us have not seen. They've done things the rest of us have not done. And so they know things that the rest of us can learn from, not just as a voyeuristic look at, you know, what they saw or did. No, it's to learn the lessons, because it's always seemed so paradoxical to me that I have learned so much about how to attain personal peace from these veterans who had been trained for war. I mean, it's so ironic. And yet I can tell you that they, yes, many times they hide behind a stoic wall or behind alcohol or other numbing agents, and they often make that courageous journey into the wilderness of their soul to discover wisdom. And that's how they redeem the suffering that they often have experienced. And truly, that's why five of us VA hospice nurses started Opus Peace, was to bring those lessons to the world. Because, as I said, many times these veterans would look at us and say, why did I have to be dying in order to learn how to do this? So,
yeah.
Truly,
yeah.
I hope to be here today bringing, as a competent steward of those stories that I have collected over my 30-year career.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing, too, with the veterans, a lot of them, it is a code of honor, right? People just don't want to talk about stuff. But I think before we send people into war, they should speak with someone like you, Deborah Grossman, and hear the stories of the people that came before them, and hear what happened when they came back from war. Hear what happens when the wife and the children could not sacrifice anymore, and she found another person. Hear what happens when you come back and you're divorced or widowed. Or, I mean, because these are the sacrifices that these young men and women make, whether serving now or the people who served in the past. I don't think people talk enough about the ramifications of what happens when someone goes off to war. So I'm glad you're doing it, and I hope you're able to educate people about this prior to signing up for the military, because they ought to be prepared. People ought to be prepared. I know my son-in-law was telling us about some horror stories on the battlefield, and I have a lot of friends also that when they come back, they're not the same person. So have you found that to be the truth?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the first thing that the families have to do when a veteran returns from war is they have to grieve the loss of the person that they sent off to war, because that person is different, and they are changed, and it requires tremendous growth to be able to open up to those changes.
So how does a family, this is Ellen, it's so good to meet you, and thank you so much for this, sharing this Opus Peace with us, because I'm looking up on your website. It's such a great website, by the way. How does a family get in touch with you if they have someone somewhere in the United States or abroad that might be battling or could be at their end of life and would want to go through this process with you? There's online or phone, or how does all that work?
Well, we do have an online learning system. Our foundation is set up to provide educational services, and so we have made those available online. It's called our masterpiece, and you can, on our website, if you click on that masterpiece photograph, that video, it will take you to the site. And we have three different courses specifically on veterans, and we have about nine other courses on non-veteran issues, such as soul injury, such as forgiveness, loss, well-being, holistic tools, those kinds of things. Also on aging and chronic illness. And we have a series coming out on crime and crime victims and crime victim advocates that will be coming out. So, yes, it's available online on our Masterpiece online learning series.
So, and you can find that by opuspeace.org. So that's opuspeace.org for those listening in that want to get that information, or at least check out the website and see if there's someone, maybe you are the one in your family that needs a little bit of soul restorativeness.
Yeah, so Deborah, let's talk a little bit about National Anchor Your Heart Day. Let's talk about the day and why people should want to participate. And I love the idea about the 3 minutes of silence, because that to me is like meditation. So let's talk a little bit about that day and how people all over the world can sign up to be part of the program.
Well, thank you, Sita, for the opportunity to talk about February 2nd. This is kind of a dream come true for those of us at Opus Peace. I mean, just imagine citizens around the globe, companies all over the planet, pausing for 3 minutes of silence to turn inward, take a deep breath, open their heart to whatever they're feeling or trying not to feel, you know, whether it be the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, but just to take an inward look to see what's in our heart and be real with that. And, you know, what I found from having done this for many, many years now, this anchoring heart, is that people discover the brave place inside themselves that's unconsciously carrying their emotional distress for them. So we are very excited to be able at 3 o'clock on February 2nd, 3 o'clock Eastern time, to have this 3 minutes together. We're going to preface it with a one-hour free, all these things are free, a free webinar from 2 p.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. Then we'll do this 3 p.m. Global. We have people already registered from all over the globe. To do the Anchoring Heart together, and then we will be providing an 11-minute video that people can have afterward that they can show to other people about how to do the Anchoring Heart technique. We have a discussion guide that will go with that so they can actually kind of facilitate discussions about it. And to me, what's so exciting is that communities can have a meaningful dialogue about their experience of letting pain and peace sit side by side together without fear. And so our hope is that after February 2nd, individuals will start realizing that rather than using numbing agents to try to not feel what they're feeling, they could anchor their heart and let themselves get real with what they are feeling.
And you know what I like about what you're doing, too, it's not only for veterans. There are people in our nation, in our world, who feel they're marginalized, minorities, people who experience loss in an accident, the loss of a loved one, the loss of a pet, the loss of a job, the loss of a home, the climate change, whatever it is. There are a lot of people that are hurting and have mental issues, financial issues, emotional issues, physical issues, and you're allowing them to take this 3 minutes and think and breathe and maybe meditate, say a prayer for each other. And I think it's wonderful because oftentimes people just jump to medication for everything.
Well, I'm thinking, Sita, if it's okay with you, what if all of us, including your listening audience right now, what if we just took 3 minutes right now and I'll kind of lead you through the 3 steps of the Anchoring Heart Technique. Would that be appropriate? Would you be okay with
No, we can't on live radio because if someone is tuning in, they'll think something is wrong with the radio station.
If we're quiet.
And then we might get thrown out. Mm-hmm. But no, but I know what you're saying. We could do it with you, though, on the third. But, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the cultural aspects of pain. And I noticed that you do have an Indian nurse, Shaku Desai, and she also helps with, she was also part of this process with the dying veterans. Talk to our listening audience a little bit about the different cultures and how different cultures approach the dying and pain.
Well, you're right. Every culture is different. And first of all, if we talk about the military culture, it has its own pain, no matter what, you know, culture or race or nationality or anything else that people come to. The military culture exerts its own culture of stoicism. And again, stoicism is important on a battlefield. The problem is later when the battle's over and, you know, you're no longer a soldier and, but become a husband or a wife or a dying human being, sometimes that stoic facade can get in the way. So that's an example of the military culture exerting its influence. But every culture, the American culture in general is fearful of emotional pain. So you think about all the advertisements that you watch on TV. They all tell you, you know, you can have it all. Life is good. Life, you know, you can have everything. Feel good all the time. You don't need to feel sad. Just get over it. Those types of things were inundated with kinds of messages here in our American culture. So numbing agents are rampant because we haven't taught people how to lose or how to fail. I mean, have you ever taken a class on how to be a loser?
No. And yet,
losing's a part of life. And, you know, helping people feel their disappointment, feel their hurt without being afraid of it, then we don't have to numb it out. We don't have to run away from it. But at any rate, yes, every culture, you know, many cultures, if they tend to be stoic, tend to really stuff that emotional pain. Cultures that are very affluent, that really basically tell you, you know, you don't need to ever feel sad or distressed. They actually have a term for it. It's called toxic positivity. Always be positive. Always think the best. You know, it's kind of the opposite of paranoia. It's called...
And it's okay to be positive, but it's also okay to talk about pain and loss and grief. And I think that's where, thank God, I have my tribe, my girlfriends, right? Everybody have their tribe, you know, where you call to talk about one thing and you end up talking about a million things and then you feel better. But oftentimes we would send people off to war and tell them to buck it up. You make sure you don't cry on the battlefield. Make sure you don't show any emotions. But then those same people have to come home and they do have the emotions. So I think that's where soul injury and Opus Peace comes in really handy for people who are actually putting their hand over their heart and having an issue with the heart. Something is going wrong when they can actually talk about it. So what are some of the things you teach? Because I cannot take 3 minutes off air, but tell our listening audience here, Deborah Grossman, on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, some of the things that we would learn if we tune into on February 2nd.
Well, you're going to learn about a little bit about how the brain works and why stuffing your feelings is going to get stored in your body and stored in your mind, and that can subtly or not so subtly sabotage your life, so to speak. You're going to learn about, yes, talking about feelings is important, but the research shows that feeling your feelings and activating this part of your brain that registers the sensations of those feelings is way more important if we're going to talk about how to heal the relationship we have with ourselves. We'll be talking about soul injury. We're going to be premiering Karen Taylor Good. She's a Nashville artist. We're going to be premiering a new slideshow featuring her music about wanting to be real, so to speak. So there's going to be a lot of exciting things that day for the listening audience to tune into and learn about. They'll hear about a bit about soul injury. They'll learn why the three steps of how to do the anchoring heart technique and connect them with their real self very quickly. It's a grounding technique that kind of bypasses the chatter in our head to help us get real with what's in our heart.
And you picked February 2nd, which happens to be Groundhog Day. Why did you choose this day?
Well, Groundhog Day, the tradition is if the groundhog comes out and sees its shadow, then there's going to be more winter. So, at any rate, we all have shadow. Carl Jung, the psychologist, coined that term shadow. And the shadow is where we stuff all the parts of ourselves that we don't like. So some people stuff their light and goodness, and some people stuff their dark and their ugliness and just always, you know, want to be an angel, so to speak. So we all have a shadow that we're not really aware of, but it follows us anyway everywhere we go. But it is in the unconscious, and that's why we don't really see it. So part of why we chose to have it on February 2nd, Groundhog Day, is so that we can connect with all the scattered pieces of ourselves, include so that they don't have to be unconscious, that we can, each of us, become awake. We can wake up to all the parts of ourselves that we're hiding so that we can become alive and more filled with vitality. And
so we could leave the planet a whole person. But, you know, when you speak, you're reminding me of my mom. My mother was a person, although she was not quite very educated, she believed in the power of prayer. And when you pray, whether it's Lord Krishna or Buddha or, you know, Allah, Jesus, or Jesus Christ, or, you know, whoever it is you pray to, you talk. And my mother would tell God all her troubles. And and it healed her, and we all do that too, because it's like having this invisible friend that's sitting, like for me, it's Lord Krishna, always sitting in my heart, on my shoulders, and I find that help. Do you find, as you talk to these veterans, and we have like a minute left, do you find that the people who have faith have it a little bit easier in shedding some of the pain and hurt that they've witnessed or have?
Mostly yes. What I would say for all of them is, as people come to the very end of their life, that facade kind of crumbles naturally. I don't care how hard they've been trying hard not to, but it kind of crumbles. And that sense of grace surfaces. And the anchoring heart technique, what it really is doing, Sita, is making space for grace. And so when you talk about prayer, to me, it's about being fueled by grace. And that's really what February 2nd is about. And hopefully we will all be unified, everybody that's joining together. We already have several hundred people already registered for the event. But just imagine what it's going to be like to create space for grace for all of us at the same time.
That's beautiful, Deborah. So beautiful. And we encourage everyone to participate on February 2nd. We'll make sure we get all of this information out about opuspeace.org. Make sure you check out that website. You're going to be really happy that you did. But we need to take this time to listen to our sponsors. So we're going to take a quick break here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we'll be right back right after these messages with Women in Defense.
Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9. That's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud9.
When you mattress need medical care, furniture. You need it fast. MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. Just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST.
Are you longing for a taste of MedFast. Louisiana? Lizette's Cajun Bistro is the place to be. They offer Cajun and Creole staples as well as American, vegan, and vegetarian options. The restaurant is located at 2447 North Wickham Road, Unit 146. All menu items are prepared daily from scratch and made to order. Dine in or take out as well as outside seating. Live music on selected weekends. So the next time you have a taste for Louisiana, stop by Lizette's Cajun Bistro. 2447 North Wickham Road.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at DixieCrossroads.com.
This is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Choctaw Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at
There's
Jotkoff
something special
Financial
about
Group
the place
today.
We call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC. FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over God's magnificent planet on the web.
That's right. 1510wwbc.com. You can hit the listen live button, and you'll be able to hear us live from any listening device, or you can hear all of our archive shows on our website, which is cedamediainc.com, as well as our Facebook pages, Viewpoint with Ceda and Friends. And then, of course, Sita's personal page. But I think you're out of you're like at your friend's maximum now, right?
Yeah.
So
but,
I gotta get on.
But
the
for
page.
Some reason, no matter what I post, people just prefer the personal page. So yeah. It is what it is.
It is what it,
it
is.
It is what
exactly
it is. Right. God is great. So our second segment is with my friend Sandy Frimmer, and Sandy is newly retired and she's enjoying life. Sandy, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
And Inga Young is here, who I'm so grateful that you were able to make it. And we're talking, they're both of them are with the Space Ghost Woman in Defense. And how awesome it is to follow this segment with the one we just had, all about giving back. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. And they were both shaking their head. I think a lot of what Deborah was saying resonated with all of us here in the studio, because we're women. We're taught to nurture, right? So, Sandy, I'll let you go first. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in women with a woman in defense.
Was an 8-year veteran of the Air Force. So I served from 1980 to 1988. When this chapter was formed, it was just really interesting to me. And I had some other veterans reach out, and they're like, oh, we're starting this chapter. We think you'd be great on it. So it took me about a year to get on the board. But then I've been on the board the last 9 years. So I'm very, very excited about the Space Ghost Women in Defense.
And Inga, you were the past president, but Inga Young is the present president of the Women in Defense. So talk to us a little bit about how you got involved.
I got involved because my company, ACOI, was working at Kennedy Space Center on a robotics mining arena, and I was nominated, or our company was nominated, for STEM Innovator of the Year. And I had already been a member, had already been attending the meetings, but wasn't really actively involved. And then after that award ceremony, I got to hear a lot more about the things that the Women in Defense Space Coast chapter does. You know, we promote a lot of mentorship, networking, scholarship, all things that are near and dear personally to me.
Yeah, and you know, that's good that you said that, because we just got off here in a segment about when you're able to talk, when you're able to have your tribe, you're able to have people, your mentors, the people that came before you, the people with experience. And the mission of the Space Ghost Women in Defense is to cultivate and support the advancement and recognition of women in all aspects of national security. And how wonderful it is to have people like you guys mentoring the young people that come before us. And I've been to some of your events, and it's usually all about love and sharing and kindness and giving the experience that you all had. So Sandy, talk to us a little bit about the vision of the Women in Defense.
We want to continue to mentor and provide that professional guidance for the young women from the people who are more experienced, like Inga and myself. But with that, we're also going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary coming up. We've had this chapter here for 10 years now, and each year we grow and become better and do more things within the community. So we're just really excited about continuing those kinds of things on the Space Coast.
And we have some epic things that have happened here, right? Especially for women, not just women in defense and in the military, but also for the space program, right? We had that whole numbers, right? I don't know if they were in Houston or whether they were here, but nonetheless, so many women in this community have a history of being kind of all in the space program in general. So it's so nice to hear not just about from a military standpoint, but also the contribution that women have made in science, technology, and math, specifically right here in Brevard County. We're just so lucky. Okay. And then we have the number one, I don't know, I think it was Carol Craig, right? Isn't the first traded company, space defense
yes,
company, and publicly
traded
women.
A lot of great
women.
Things happening in
really,
Brevard.
Really, really wonderful.
So Inga, talk to us a little bit. How does your company contribute to building a stronger and more diverse STEM program, workforce, and program here in the space?
Well, first let me talk to you a little bit about what you're hitting on. My mother was a 25-year veteran with NASA Kennedy Space Center. She retired as a senior scientist. However, early in her career was in the 1970s, 1980s, and then at that time, there were not a lot of women senior scientists at Kennedy Space Center. So,
She's a trailblazer.
She was definitely a trailblazer.
Yes.
But I'll tell you, when she came home at night, she was mom, cooking dinner. I didn't know all these things, great things that my mom did, because I lived in a very traditional family. And her, she used to tell us, my dad used to say to her job was her hobby.
And she probably couldn't talk about a lot she was doing either, because it's national security clearance for a lot of those jobs too.
Well, my mom actually is named patent holder on a lot of inventions that occurred at Kennedy. And you know, I never heard about that because my mom was very humble. And so this is very near and dear to my heart, because in all the years my mother said to me, I may have broken some of those glass ceilings, but it will be nothing compared to what your future generation will be able to accomplish. And so that has been my passion for working with Women in Defense Space Coast Chapter. My company does do DOD work, but that is just a small segment of why I'm part of the Women in Defense Space Coast Chapter. It's really
a fantastic legacy.
Yeah, and what a great story too, because when you speak, you're not just speaking from your heart, you're speaking with your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells a lot, because you're remembering stuff as you talk. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Brevard County, Florida, a lot of people are trying their best culturally to get a lot more minorities involved in STEM.
Yes.
And I notice even at your events, you're trying your best. What are the barriers that you're seeing with so many communities that young women are not going into the STEM program?
You know, it starts with educating people when they're very young that they mentally can do the math and the sciences. And I think it's really our cultural society is a very now, I want it now, lots of social media, and that doesn't lend nicely to helping young women with their confidence.
Yes, yes. And it comes from the home, too. Like, you know, the foundation for everything starts in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Engaging the children at home and staying involved. And I see, Sandy, you and I have a lot in common on our Facebook, and you're shaking your head. We always agree on that, because it's one thing to say the kids are not doing something, but it's the other to say that the parents are not putting in the time to make sure that the children stay engaged and involved.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we do with the Space Coast Women in Defense, we're actively involved in some of the science fairs, with some of the robotics teams and things like that, in the schools, understanding and knowing how important those activities are. I mean, when my children were young, I made sure that they had those opportunities. If their friends needed additional support or guidance, I made sure I brought them along with us and those kinds of things. And I think that's important for all of us in the community to make sure that we're bringing in others and mentoring and guiding others.
And reading. Lot of children, a lot of students are not reading. There's so many interesting things happening with our environment, with climate change, with just right here in the Indian River Lagoon. A lot of children don't know what the conversion of a septic to sewer is. And I see, Inga, you're shaking your head, because your mom probably didn't tell you much about her job, but she instilled certain values in you to make you want to do something as
Correct.
What you're doing now.
Correct. I actually never knew I would be doing today what I'm doing, but she definitely inspired me as I got older and learned more about my mom. And it, like I said, she was very modest because of our family dynamic of what she could talk about. And then later I learned all the great things that she did. And I was like, wow, I hope to do the same thing by mentoring other people. And like in our company, we offer internships and things like that. And through our internships, I did come to meet a nice young lady who I feel like I've spent a lot of time mentoring. And, you know, and I will continue to do that.
I have a really funny story. A friend of mine was a decorated military officer in the Navy and went to a career day at her son's elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And she stood up there and told about her early days of shipbuilding and the things that took her from one spot to the next. And so the teacher said to Christopher, do you want to be he goes, no, shipbuilding's women's work. And it
wow.
was just so funny the way, like, perspective, right, mm-hmm. about all of these different
and
things.
People, that's changing, too.
So much.
So, Inga, let's chat a little bit about the 10th anniversary event. And you have a dynamic speaker that's coming to speak about STEM.
Yes.
And why people are going to fall in love with science and math all over again. So talk to us about the 10th anniversary event.
So we have Dr. Diana coming as our guest speaker, and she will be speaking about us as professionals helping our younger generations along and why it's important. And I think everybody will really enjoy what she has to say. Her life experiences and her goals for what she does every day. She has programs going on. I got a copy of her resume, and it was 10 pages of all the things that she's currently doing. She's quite incredible, and I hope that everybody will come and hear her speak, because it will be a great program. And in addition, you know, L3 Harris was very gracious in allowing us to host our event there in their new innovation. Is that what it's called? Innovation Center?
Global Innovation Center.
So for the $25 fee or the $35 if you're not a member, very important, will there be food at the event?
There will be.
Because, you know, people come in hungry. What time is the event?
5:30 to 7:30.
They're going to be hungry.
It'll be heavy hors d'oeuvres, and then there will be beverages.
Because last time they had heavy hors d'oeuvres, and it was a lot of food. Oh, yes. I ate a lot of the little the spinach pie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I ate a lot of it.
Spanakopita.
I ate like 10. So the Space Coast Women in Defense have given out, Sandy, over $75,000 in STEM scholarships to date. Talk to our listening audience a little bit about the scholarship program, because that's where the money goes to that we collect at this event on the second and other events.
Yes, thank you very much. Okay, that program is open right now to Brevard County young women that are either finishing up high school or already in college, and there's applications online. Excuse me. And with that program, the scholarships will range from $500 to $2,500 each, and it goes directly to the student for their needs. So it's not given to the school for them to disperse. It's given directly to the student. And all money we raise locally stays local, which is one of the best things about the program. So everything we're raising at this event with the silent auction, the admission fees and such, they'll all go to
Yeah. And you have a few more events coming up, not just that one. What that our listeners, if they can't make the one on the 2nd of February, they can either attend some of these other ones here. You have right. With the golf and all that.
So we have the May 19th golf tournament, which will be at Baytree. And that'll be at the golf links. And then we also have many science fairs and other things like that coming up that people can participate in and helping us.
And June will be the award ceremony when we give out these scholarships.
The award ceremony, you had a lot of kids last time, and all those kids, my God, it was phenomenal when they came up there, and you've seen all these tiny little kids coming up there and getting these awards. Tell us about the application process, and how do you find the people that apply for these scholarships?
Primarily, we go through the Brevard County School Guidance Counselor System. The application is obviously posted on our website, but most of the kids get the link from their school, and the guidance counselors tell them, and then they apply. Last year was record-breaking for us. We gave $16,000 in scholarship last year alone. We also allow students to win more than one time, so up to two times. And so we encourage them to reapply. If they've won previously, they can win again.
And how do we get more women, more young girls, to be interested in science and math? Now, I know I come from a culture where math and science is that you have to be lawyer, doctor, engineer, or open a business. That's about it. Or you're in trouble, right? Of course, I've learned that to keep my mouth shut about that, because I do have one child that's still finding himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he does have a degree in micro and molecular biology, but that's neither here nor there. But there's so many cultures that they'll just say, well, my child wants to do this. And I think like the difference in the cultures is the expectations, right? So how do we get more people to go into math and science? Where's that missing link that we have? Maybe Sandy, you could speak to this one.
Well, last year we had done a family fun day, kind of emphasizing STEM programs, and we hosted that at Larson Motorsports, and there was a lot of interactive things. So we had a lot of very young students at that, and we pushed that out through the schools as well. This year, we couldn't work that into our schedule, but again, it's something we'll probably do in the future again.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was something on TikTok where they asked this Indian boy, he's 7 years old, what do you want to do when you grow up? And he said, I want to own 25 Rolls Royce. I want to have a Mercedes. I want to have a company. I'm building this and building that, all about science. And then they went to a little girl and they said, you're 7 years old. What do you want to be when you grow up? And I was holding my breath thinking she'll say, I want to be a scientist or a mathematician, or I want to rediscover what the zero means. And she goes, I want to be his wife. And I said, oh, God, that's a summer, how some people do think, right? So Inga, how many Space Ghost and Defense chapters are there in the state of Florida?
I believe there are two, one in Jacksonville and ours here.
Yeah, and do we know how these chapters got started?
Most of the time there's been interest within the community. They've been to a national event or an event elsewhere, you know, in a different city. And with that, then they want to start one in their own community.
Yeah, so they just have to reach out to someone. And so do you have a lot of businesses partnering with Women in Defense here in Brevard County, Florida?
Yes, for sure. Even for the sponsorship for the 10th anniversary event, we have SCIS, Cromulence, several others. I believe there was five gold sponsors for our event for the 10-year anniversary.
And if somebody is listening and they want to be part of Space Ghost Women in Defense and they want to sponsor a child or make a donation, how can they contact you all?
Well, right on our website, scwid.org.
Yeah. And I know Allie wants to jump in here. I see you're looking at me. You're trying to figure out what's going on. have you heard of the Space Ghost Women in Defense before?
No, I have not. But it reminds me a lot of, you know, how I applied to colleges to become an engineer, and then I got married and had babies instead. But it was a goal of mine at the beginning, and I was trying to think what was the impetus from my family that would make me want to go that way and try to maybe share that then with my kids and that sort of thing. And it was both mom and dad all the time. Yes. And daddy handled all the math stuff, and mother handled all the English, and made sure everything looked good, and how's your homework, and it was mom and dad's interest in everything I was doing at school. Show me your paperwork, what'd you talk about today, those kinds of things that built it.
Yes.
So if we can have organizations like this that can generate that kind of, these
conversations,
these adults,
like, yeah, it's a conversation,
right,
you have in the car. I know yesterday when we were at Universal, Baby James was only two. He wanted to buy a Captain America. He's into Spider-Man, Captain America, and Hulk, and all these fellas.
Yep.
And so he wanted a Captain America toy. And I said to my daughter, do not buy it for him. Let me give him the $20 himself and let him go to the cashier and hand the guy the $20, and then he gives him back the change. We videotaped it. It was so beautiful to watch this two-year-old handing the guy the $20, getting back $3 in change, and getting to Captain America. So I think you lead by example. And one of the things I noticed with the Space Ghost Women in Defense is you have rock-solid relationships with the people you mentor, and I see you want to jump in there.
Yeah, I wanted to just say, I think that is a sign of the generations changing, where we divided up duties like that, and nowadays more women and men share the child-rearing, so that both mother and father can have careers. And I think that being available to women, they can now pursue the careers in engineering, math, sciences. You know, I think that the younger generation has a lot more opportunity than perhaps I had. And I think that we will see more girls going into the math and sciences, because they can do both now.
Yeah, because people can decide if they want to have a family and when to start that family. Mm-hmm. And so girls have a say. Although, Sandy, in the past few years, Sandy Frimmer, we've seen science got a little bit of a whack. A lot of people were not believing in science as much with the COVID-19 and stuff. And I, for one, being a nurse and watching what we went through wearing plastic, I have to call them shower curtains.
Mm-hmm.
I felt as though we needed more education in this country to say, hey, you could have faith, but you can have science. They go together, faith and science. So you want to address that?
Yes, I agree. We've had some issues with science kind of being debunked and different things, but I think it's very important to have that basic foundation with the students. You know, again, it all starts in the home. We're an organization that can help further that along and those kinds of things. And I think what we're doing is making great strides in the Space Coast community.
Yeah, it's truthful conversations where one should not be afraid to voice one's opinion if you can back it up with science, right? Nothing actually happens without the scientists. We've watched the scientists, whether it's in the medical profession or any other profession. I mean, my goodness, people can go up to the moon without scientists, you know? So I think it's important that people do respect them for their work to do, and respect you all for Women in Defense for encouraging all young women to go into science. And sometimes, you know, when there's something's going up in space, you'll have a woman at the controls of the robot. And it makes all of us women feel great. I know, because mm-hmm. I've seen either ethnic woman or somebody else, and people would make a big deal out of it on TikTok. But you could speak a little bit about that, Inga, because your mom was one of those.
Yes. My mom, like I said, was very humble. I don't know if you all remember when the Challenger blew up over Texas, Louisiana. It was one of my mom's patents that they sent out to the debris field to make sure that all the people collecting the debris would be safe. And so my mom has many of those stories.
Yes. So for our listeners who are tuning in today, this our second segment was with the Space Coast Women in Defense. President Inga Young is here with us, and past President Sandy Frimmer. And we spoke a little bit about the events that are taking place, the scholarships, why more young women and men should go into STEM, read, engage, stay involved in our communities, and a website, if you don't mind, Sandy, one more time.
SCWID.org.
And it's a fantastic website, very easy to navigate. You can find all of the businesses, large and small, that are supporting the Space Coast Women in Defense. And of course, we always say when people support things that make you want to support, go support them as well. There's lots of great small businesses on here as well. What a fantastic segment. Once again, Sita, for another great Monday here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you tune in to WWBC 1510 each and every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you'll hear fantastic guests each and every week here on our very little community radio show here, Space Coast, right here on the Space Coast.
To our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's time to praise Him with the dance. Let's praise Him. Let us all be free. Let's dance before the Lord like David did. Let us all be free.
Let us all be free.
Dance.
Dance. Oh, dance. Yeah.
Dance.